The man's normal tone of voice was a downcast image of worry. Yet he speaks to me like an equal, almost. A strange man. Talented, but tainted. Dr. Cardenas thinks it would be best to build the mirrors in situ. I agree with her, Simpson replied. Startled, Ulrich asked, You mean build the mirrors at the craters where they are to be sighted? That's right. But that would mean, Simpson interrupted, it'll be a lot easier carrying a batch of nanos and the associated equipment on site than to try transporting the mirrors from here to the craters. Ulrich fell silent, trying to sort out the possibilities. Simpson kept on. We've learned that transporting the mirrors is risky. From what Chris tells me, the nanos can work perfectly well out on the surface. They don't need air. All we'd have to do is build a temporary roof over the site to protect everything from radiation and micrometeors. The rest can be done remotely, from the teleoperations center, with a minimum of human oversight at the craters. You have this all figured out, Ulrich murmured. We can build all three mirrors at the same time. Get the job done in less than a year.
Less than a year?
Once the foundations are built, and the frames, and the raw materials are delivered, Simpson said matter-of-factly. Ulrich's head was spinning. Less than a year.
We'd be taking data even before Halleck and her IAA team can assemble their mirror segments in space, let alone align and test them.
But can I trust Simpson's judgment? Is this scheme of his an actual possibility, or merely some drug-induced fantasy? The professor realized they had stopped walking. He had lost count of their paces, but figured they must be at his office door. It's all in my report, Simpson was saying. Dr. Cardenas agrees with my conclusions. You can check it out with her. Drawing himself up to his full height, Ulrich said,
That is exactly what I intend to do, Mr. Simpson.
The engineer replied sadly, as if he'd expected such treatment. That's what I thought. Now I'll get back to the teleop center. There's still a lot of work to do.
And I will read your report, said Ulrich. Then contact Dr. Cardenas and discuss it with her.
Fine, said Simpson. Without another word, he turned and started back down the corridor. As he listened to the audio of Simpson's report, Professor Ulrich had to admit that the man was thorough. It was all there, each step necessary to build all three mirrors simultaneously at their sites using nanomachines. He must have stayed up all night to produce such a detailed report, Ulrich thought. When does the man sleep? Of course, the cost estimates are very rough. I'll have to get the accounting staff at the university to make a refined cost estimate. Still, if Simpson's figures are anywhere close to accurate, it should cost us a fraction of what spin-casting the mirrors would cost. Can I trust Simpson's judgment? Ulrich wondered. The man uses drugs. Medications, he claims. But whatever they are, they could cloud his judgment seriously. His work has been impeccable so far, but how far can I trust him? Ulrich decided to make two phone calls. One to Dr. Cardenas at Cellini's nanotechnology laboratory. The other to Farside's resident physician, the woman who was overseeing Simpson's medications. Medical Report. Dr. Ida Kapstein sat at the table abutting Ulrich's desk. He could fairly feel her radiating displeasure. He pictured her in a white medical smock, gleaming and crisp. Diplomatically, Ulrich began, I'm sorry to call you away from your duties, doctor. Her voice almost growling, Kapstein answered, I figured it must be important if you wanted me to come to your office.
It's about Grant Simpson.
Ah, I should have guessed. Ulrich steepled his fingers.
This is a rather delicate matter.
He waited for her to respond, but she just sat there like a block of cement, silently staring at him. At last he said,
I need to know about his drug use.
Kapstein's tone turned even more nettled.
There is a certain expectation of doctor-patient confidentiality, Professor.
Smiling thinly, Ulrich said,
Even when the safety of the entire Farsight staff is at stake.
The doctor hesitated, then,
I don't think that's at issue. Would the technician Henderson have been injured if Simpson had been at his job where he should have been?
Sounding surprised, she said,
It was my understanding that you sent him over to Cellini. Why he was away from his position is not the question here. The question is, would that technician have been injured if Simpson was where he should have been? That's got nothing to do with the medications he's taking.
Ulrich realized she was being loyal to Simpson, not to himself.
Doctor, he said as amicably as he could manage, my task is to ensure that my staff works in the safest environment possible.
Grant Simpson isn't a threat to anybody's safety, she said flatly.
He's not taking narcotics?
Not that I know of.
What medications have you prescribed for him?
That's on record. You can look it up in the medical files.
Please enlighten me.
He sensed Dr. Kapstein tugging her phone from the breast pocket of her coverall. She said to it, Simpson, Grant, medications prescribed. Audio presentation.
She held the phone up so that Ulrich could hear its tinny voice. It was a long list, mostly incomprehensible.
I'm afraid I'm not up on the pharmaceutical terminology, the professor said.
Most of it's pretty standard for somebody who works out on the surface a lot.
Anti-radiation meds, a couple of stem cell injections to repair damage caused by radiation exposure.
You said most of it, Ulrich said.
He's taking some steroids, too, the doctor admitted grudgingly.
Steroids? Why?
They improve physical performance. Stamina.
Strength.
Her voice went strangely gentle as she added,
Some men use them in place of aphrodisiacs.
Ulrich felt his face flush. The doctor quickly continued,
But Grant isn't using them that way, I'm sure. He's taking steroids to help him do his work outside. It isn't easy, you know. Out on the surface, stuffed inside one of those hard-shell suits.
Steepling his fingers again, Ulrich asked,
If he didn't have to work on the surface, could he stop taking these medications?
She thought a moment before replying,
Yes, I suppose so.
What kind of an answer is that?
Sounding uncomfortable, Dr. Kapstein said, Well, some of those steroids can be habit-forming.
It could be hard to shake loose of them.
Like withdrawing from narcotics.
Different symptoms, but...
Yes, sort of like narcotics withdrawal.
I see.
Trouble is, the doctor continued, He's going to have to stop the steroids sooner or later.
Why is that?
Side effects build up. Liver deterioration, for one thing. His liver function is already in decline.
It is.
Nothing serious? Not yet.
But...
She left the conclusion unspoken.
Abruptly, Ulrich got to his feet.
Thank you, Dr. Kapstein. You've been most helpful.
She pushed her bulk up from the chair, making Ulrich wonder how she would fare if she ever went back Earthside.
He walked her to the door, then slid it shut again and returned to his desk.
I should prohibit Simpson from working outside, Ulrich told himself. Yet I'm going to need him to direct building the mirrors at their crater sites.
His decision was clear. Work Simpson as hard as possible, get those mirrors built, monitor the man's medical condition, of course, but by all means get him to build those mirrors.
Smiling to himself, Ulrich asked his phone when he could expect Dr. Cardenas to return his call.
The phone replayed Cardenas's response to his earlier call. I'm going to be in conference with Anita Halleck for most of the morning, Professor Ulrich. I'll call you back after lunch.
Anita Halleck. Ulrich trembled with sudden anger.
That woman is going to usurp Cardenas's time and effort, steal her away from me, ruin my chance to be the first to image Sirius C.
He saw his Nobel Prize crumbling before his eyes.
Nanotechnology Laboratory. It took all of her self-control for Anita Halleck to suppress the shudder of outright fear she felt. Since she'd been a child, earning a living by salvage diving through the flooded ruins of downtown Sydney, nanotechnology had been dreaded by everyone she knew. Not that she believed the religious nonsense that nanomachines were inventions of the devil, evil in its purest form. That rot was for the brainwashed fools who substituted religious dogma for thinking. Still, nanomachines had been used to murder people, she'd been told, and the threat of nanos going wild, devouring everything in their path like a blindly hungry swarm of unstoppable mechanical ants, had given her terrifying nightmares for years. But here on the moon, in this underground wombat's den called Selene, nanotech was used quite openly. and Anita Halleck was sitting face to face with the leading nanotech expert.